Hey, y'all, it's Thursday, so that means it is another episode of the Late Night Vision Show, the first and only podcast for all you night vision and thermal hunters out there, you hog hunters, you coyote hunters, all the people who are running around at night waving guns around in the air like all of us are doing, hopefully being smart and safe about it. We've got another scope review, and the owner of Outdoor Legacy, Mr. Jason Robertson. How are we still having new scope reviews in the end of August, beginning of September? How is this even possible?
I have no idea, but we have so many reviews to do, and I'm just thinking of more things that we need to do. It's crazy.
The amount of reviews that we've done this year, and thinking it seems like at least almost every other week we're doing a review, but the fact that we've had this many new scopes, new optics, new companies, pretty much here in the
it's crazy.
And the scope that we got for you today is a good one, and we're excited about doing it. We're gonna get pretty quick into the review here. We've got some stuff to talk about at the end if we don't run too long, but we are gonna get right into it. So we're gonna be doing the full review of the Pulsar Trail 2 XP50 LRF. Now, a lot of people have been talking about it. These scopes have been kind of hard to get, Jason, but looks like here, you know, kind of. But it looks like, you know, here at the end of August, beginning of September, stuff is getting a little bit better as far as the inventory front.
Some stuff. Yeah. So this scope, okay, this is not a new scope.
No.
So I know there's some people right now that are like, wait a minute, I've had this scope a year. Why are y'all just now talking about it? So here's the deal. The Pulsar Trail 2 laser rangefinder models were both announced last year, and they hit the market. But due to all of the COVID delays and the shutdowns and everything else, like most everything that we all wanted, things were hard to get, and we're still experiencing that in a lot of ways. But these Trail 2s were tough to get, and it was one of those things where they were just nearly impossible. At one time, our wait list was running about 7 to 8 months if you had put a down payment on one. And so we just felt like there were so few of these scopes actually coming into the U.S. and hitting the market. And we had so much other stuff to talk about that we kind of figured, like, why go out and review this scope, build up a bunch of excitement about it? Because it's a great scope when nobody can get it.
If you wanted to buy it, you couldn't even buy it. So, yeah.
No. You couldn't buy it. So it's like, why dangle that carrot out there for people when it was just, again, nearly impossible. Right. I mean, these things were coming in. Dealers were getting them one, maybe two at a time. And then we might go weeks or even months between shipments. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but now, as Han said, late summer of 2021.
It is.
Last week I was talking about 2020, and somebody's like, you realize this is 2021. 2021, the inventory on these has gotten much better. I'm not saying everybody's got them in stock, but they're getting them. At Outdoor Legacy, we have definitely been getting them. They don't stay long. I mean, we've actually had them on the shelf, but they normally seem to stay 2 or 3 days, maybe a week, and then they're gone. And we got to wait for some more, but they're moving in. And so we figured it was time to go ahead and talk about them as we're, quickly approaching the fall. And it seems weird to say because time is flying. But as we get closer to fall, that's when it will not be long that up north, a lot of the coyote seasons are coming in. Guys will get out there and start hunting soon down south. Everybody's going to start going and you know, filling feeders for deer season, and they're going to start seeing hogs, and they're going to be thinking about, you know, hunting again. So we're quickly approaching the time when more people are going to be looking to buy scopes. We figured, you know, this is, you know, such a great scope. We don't want to not talk about it before the
fall. I always get a lot of nervous anxiety when you talk about deer season right around the corner, because I love deer season. Shot a nice buck last year. Excited about going deer hunting again and doing it again this year. But I always lose a bunch of properties during deer season. And so I always like dread it, because I know deer hunters are taking over my properties, but I do like to deer hunt too. So, you know, I don't know. I just get,
it's a double-edged sword,
and I do get a bunch of nervous anxiety about it. But anyway, so we're going to go over the specs of the Pulsar Trail 2 XP50 LRF right now. You know, we've been running, I've been running the specs here for a while. Jason is going to be showing this beautiful looking scope. We need to talk about too, the fans of the trail, you know, form factor, body style versus the people of the Thermion. Cause there are some people that love the trail design, hated that it kind of went away, you know, with the Thermion design, and, you know, some people might even be buying the Trail 2s in the LRF and not even need the LRF. They just like the trail form factor. So, anyway, with that being said, the resolution, this is a 640 by 480 thermal core resolution, 17 micron. It starts at 2 power base magnification and goes up to 16 power. It does have a laser rangefinder. You can probably see on the side of it. And Pulsar says that the range on the rangefinder is out to 1,100 yards. So I don't know if you or I tested it that. We tested it very far, but 1,100 yards is a stretch for us, being at where we live.
And I think that might be a reflection. I moved my microphone and forgot I was showing this thing, so you hopefully couldn't even hear me. I had the microphone completely out so I could show this thing. And I think that 1,100 yards might be on a reflective target, so I don't know what the non-reflective is, but we'll get into the laser range finding and talk about some of the realistic distances, but it's longer than you need to be shooting. Oh, how about that? It's a long way.
Definitely. Internal video and audio recording, 50 hertz refresh rate. It's got a detection range of 1,970 yards. It does have a 10-plus hour battery pack on it, which is fantastic. Love it. And they definitely are getting that amount of time. Of course, it is rechargeable. This optic is an IPX7 rated and recoil rating up to 375 H&H caliber or 12-gauge shotgun. Price on it, $5,999. And 97 cents. So I'll give you the 3 cents. You bring basically a $6,000 thermal scope. Those are a quick rundown of the specs, the main ones that most people care about. And I know Jason's been showing the scope, so let you talk a little bit about the outside of it.
So I want to tell you right now, Hans is right. We generally, the way we've kind of done the show, I don't know, we didn't ever plan it this way, it just kind of worked out, is generally I'll run the specs and Hans will show the scope. And we've been doing it recently. I don't know why. It just kind of ended up being different. And I am not near the Vanna White that he is.
No,
I mean, I feel like you can't see it very well. And I'm clumsy. And people see me monkeying with it. And it's not good. I was trying to show everybody. I took the battery off. Then I couldn't get it back in.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Man,
you got to
practice.
Not very good.
You got to practice.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I am going to hold this up, and I don't know, on my camera it looks kind of dark, so I don't know what y'all can see here, but I just want to show quickly. So starting at the rear, we do have this rubber eye cup. This is removable. A lot of people will like to take that off if maybe they wear glasses, or some people just prefer not to have it on there. You can just peel it right off, and you can put it right back on if you decide that, you know, you do want it on there. So that is definitely an optional piece. In front of that, we have the diopter. That is the rear focus. It focuses the internal display screen to your eye. And you just make sure that the text and everything on the screen is focused, and then you'll focus the scope. So that's what that is there. Moving forward here, you can see on this side, this is what we see on the twos, the trail twos, is this blue button. And that indicates that it is a trail two. The original trails did not have that blue button. And as you saw me monkeying with it here, this is the IPS7 battery pack that is removable, replaceable, and rechargeable. As Hans said, it's a 10-plus hour battery pack. You can also buy a IPS14 battery pack that will get you over 20 hours of battery life. Now, one thing I like to mention to people is, look here, this is the IPS7. It is smooth down the side. An IPS14 is actually going to stick out about a half inch or so. So it sticks off the side of the scope. It's not a big deal, but some people think it looks kind of funny. But if you're up north and you're hunting in that 0-degree weather, you're not going to care what it looks like. You're going to be really glad to have that kind of battery life. Also, just to mention it, the IPS7, this battery right here, if you want to buy a spare, they're $99. If you want to buy the IPS14, they're $120. So for the dollar, the IPS7s are a huge value. But like I said, a lot of people just don't like them because they stick off the side. They're a little bit heavier. And if you're down south, you probably don't need it unless you're just, you know, somewhere hunting really cold or really, really long hours. So here, this is the top. I've turned it over so you can see. There's multiple buttons here. There's four buttons. These are going to be all the functions, menu, zoom. It's going to control your laser range finder, all that. And then here on the front, this is your focus knob. There's not a ring that goes around. It is a knob up top. Really nice focus. It's got a very long range of focus. It's one of those scopes that you get dialed in, and I don't feel like I have to touch the focus much at all, even when I'm looking at things, you know, fairly close or fairly far. So it's got a nice focus there. We've got this, you know, normal rigid lens cap. And then turning the scope over, we've got this laser rangefinder here on the side. It is permanently attached. This is not something that you can remove. And then right back here, you probably can't see it. There's a little rubber cap, and that is covering a USB port. And that port is where you can do multiple things. One, you can plug it into your computer so that you can pull your videos off, or you can plug it in and charge the scope, charge the battery. I would also point out that, you know, this scope comes with a cradle charger, so you can pull the battery off and charge it. You don't have to plug the whole scope in, but that is an option. Also, alternatively, if you really wanted to, you could plug in a USB external battery pack there, but that's something that I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody doing with a trail, unless they were just in some kind of a bind, because the batteries last so long. Now, one thing I want to quickly show here, and we'll get into this in a minute, or I guess we can actually do it now. This is the mount that comes in the box with the scope. See, there's some little thumb screws here. Now, I'm going to just show how this would go. So there's multiple holes in this mount. So you can put this mount as far forward or back as you need. And if you're on a bolt action rifle with a Picatinny rail, you can move this scope way back. So I'm going to try to just show how far back I'm banging this thing around. So this is way back. I know this is not showing up very well, but that's exactly what this mount is for. Again, it comes in the box. Now, I'm going to use this time to talk about the mounts. So that is not a quick detach off and on mount. It has these little thumb screws, and I want to be clear, these are thumb screws. Put them thumb tight, okay? If you want to really crank them down with your fingers, that's fine. I personally would not advise using any sort of wrench on this, because you will break these little bolts very quickly by getting it too tight. So you put that on. It's what we call a permanent style mount. You're just not going to quickly take it off and on and return to zero. I mean, yes, you can quickly take it off, but you can't, you know, hold zero with that. I don't have them here to show, but there are a couple different quick detach mounts that we sell for this. One is the Pulsar quick detach mount. It's a little small, 3.5-inch mount, and it's $99. Works well, seems to hold zero well. And then we've got a very nice high-end American-made Zero Delta D-Lock mount. It's an ingenious design. I wish I had one sitting here. If you're looking for a high-end, guaranteed, good American-made mount, that's the mount. $250, they're not cheap. But, you know, if you're putting a $6,000 scope on a mount, it's not a bad deal to have a really good mount. I will say this. I believe those mounts will be going away soon. I think there's only a limited number of those mounts that are still available, and I don't know that they're being produced anymore. I know they're still out there, but I think they're going to be gone. I think just because of now, there used to be a whole bunch of trails, and now there's just mm-hmm. down to the two. And I guess I should mention this is the Trail 2 XP50 laser rangefinder, and there's also a Trail 2 XQ50, Q as in queen, a laser rangefinder, and that is a standard resolution 384 by 288, 3.5 power base magnification. So I've ran over a whole bunch of stuff, including the mounts, and that was something I was going to do a little bit later in there, but I guess since I was holding up, I just wanted to go ahead and show.
Well, that. You know, you talked about now that I'm doing the specs now, and you're doing the walk around. Well, it used to be reverse, but I kicked you off of the specs because you took too long. And I moved you to the walk around.
Listen to this. I think I see a pattern.
But your walk around way is better than mine, because my walk around was here's the lens, here's the power button, this is what you look through. So you did a lot better job than I normally do.
But
if you keep taking this long, I'm going to kick you back over to the spec. So we're going to move on with it. We're going to move on to the ID range, and then maybe you can talk a little bit about the which you were talking about, wanting to talk about earlier, was with the laser rangefinder and the functionality of that. But as far as ID range and what people always want to know, how far can I detect an animal with it? A hog, a coyote, a deer that you're not going to shoot at night, but you might want to see one out
there. Detect or identify?
This is ID range. So this is going to be ID? Not detection range, but ID, yeah.
Over 50 yards.
Over 50. 50. Gee, that's a good guess.
No, a long way.
So, you know, it's a 640 resolution scope, 2-power base magnification up to 16-power. ID range on this, in my opinion, between 400 and 500 yards.
I think that's
I would say very comparable to a lot of other 640 resolution scopes out there. So, you know, it is on the lower end of the scale as far as magnification, you know, at 2-power for a 640 scope. But yeah, 400 to 500 yards is great ID range. And, you know, you can definitely, this is a scope that you can hunt and shoot over 100 yards, no problem at all, consistently.
over 200 yards. So yeah, I mean, it's
even though it's a base
capable.
Power 2 magnification, you can still stretch its legs and get out there really far.
I want to mention something real quick. We might should have done this in the beginning, just so people know. If you have any, if you're familiar in any way with the original Pulsar Thermion XP50, now we're calling them the Thermion 1 because there's a Thermion 2 XP50. We reviewed that recently. But if you're familiar or have looked through or seen an original Thermion XP50, that's exactly what this scope is in a different housing. Right. Same magnification, same specs, same image quality. Everything is the same in a Trail 2 as the Thermion 1 or the original Thermion. The mistake that a lot of people think or make is they think that a Trail 2 and a Thermion 2 are equal, but they're not. The Thermion 2 has a newer sensor. So I just wanted to just point that out. If you've ever had any access to look through an original Thermion XP50,
that's
what
a good point, because
like.
There's a lot of confusion around that. And, you know, not surprising, because that is a lot to remember there. But go ahead and tell them also about the laser rangefinder and how that exactly works.
Yeah. So I made the point a while ago that this laser rangefinder is permanently attached. So it is there. You're not gonna take this off. It's not modular. You know, if you want to get it off, it's going to take a chisel and a hammer and void your warranty. But no, it's permanently attached. It is zeroed at the factory. I'm going to say one thing, and gosh, I don't want to jinx this. And I know there's going to be somebody that's going to leave a comment and they're going to be the outlier here. But of all the laser rangefinders since Pulsar started making the laser rangefinder trails in 2018, I don't think I've ever had a customer that had a problem with the laser rangefinder. Now, again, I know somewhere, sometime there's been a problem. I'm not denying that, but just our customers. I've just never heard of that. I mean, we've had other issues, something normal, things are going to break with electronics, but it's just like, you'd think, well, we're adding this extra piece off to the side. That really, they just seem to work really well. So we do like these laser rangefinders, but I wanted to explain how this function works because a lot of people are confused. And the one thing to know is that when you let me back up. I'm from the easiest way to explain this. There's two ways you can use the laser rangefinder. There is a quick laser, which you press the button. And when you press this button on the top of the scope, your crosshairs, the reticle, disappears, and a small little square laser rangefinding box shows up. And it's going to look like what you're used to seeing in a standard handheld laser rangefinder that you use during the daytime. So you're going to be familiar with that. Crosshairs disappear. That little box is there. You press the button again, and it sends the laser out. And now, so, you know, you hope to have that little square on the animal or the tree or whatever you're trying to range. You press the button, sends the laser, and it gives you a reading over there. And it's default to meters. You can go into the settings and change that to yards. But what I want to make the point is, if you accidentally hit that button and the crosshairs disappear, some people freak out like, oops, I hit that. My crosshairs are gone. It is less than 3 seconds. It's about, to be honest, I think it's about a 2.7 seconds, but we'll call it 3 second timeout. If you don't touch that laser rangefinding button again, the crosshairs come right back. So it just times out. So that's something that a lot of people are, you know, tell me when they first get it, like, man, I pressed something and it came on. I don't know how to, like, man, don't worry about it. If you accidentally press that button, your crosshairs will come back in 3 seconds or less. Now, the other way that you can run this is in a laser range finding scan mode. And in scan mode, the laser is constantly pulsing. So it's just, it's sending that laser out over and over and over. So whatever your square little box is on, it's trying to give you the range of whatever you're pointing it at. And it just runs until you turn it off. Okay. Now in that mode, you can turn on picture and picture. And when you turn on your picture and picture function up at the top, it does have your crosshairs. So that's the kind of down and dirty way of actually, you know, shooting and scanning with the laser, you know, at this exact same time. So some people want to do that. Now, this is something that I want to bring up and I'll be done with kind of talking about the laser. Is that some people say, man, I just really, really wish that I had the laser and the crosshairs at the same time. Well, number one, you can do it with picture in picture, and that works perfectly fine. But the other comment that I would make is, I agree, that would be nice. And I mean, I guess it would be ideal, and I would love to see that. But it's really not a bad thing, because the way that people use these, and I've talked to guys who really, before they bought them, had this concern of like, man, I just really wish that I could scan and shoot at the exact same time with my main crosshairs. And they get them, and I talk to them, and they're like, yeah, you're right. I don't use that function, or I wouldn't use it like I thought that I would. Because what most people want to do is, they're not concerned with this exact second if that coyote is 221 yards or 222 yards. Yeah. It's, hey, he's 220 yards. Now I know where I need to hold over. Is he coming closer to me? Okay, then I know. I mean, I know what I need to do. If he's going further away, well, then Houston, we got a problem, because he's going away quickly. You know, I'm probably not going to be shooting him on the run when he's going away anyway. I got to get him stopped. And you just need to have some idea. Again, is he 250? Mm-hmm. Is he 275? Whatever he's at. So I've just found that the way that when I've used these laser range finders, and just talking to customers, really most people, it's how far is he? Oh, wow. He's way too far, but here he comes. Okay. He's at 250 and he's closing in. I don't need to know anymore because now I know, you know, he's going to be at 215. He's still coming. It's point blank. I'm putting it on him and shooting, you know whether he's 200 or 150. So anyway, I'm just making the point that it's not that big of a deal to not have those both at the same time. And if you have to have it, you do have the picture in picture. But laser function is fantastic. I'm going to say one quick thing here, Hans, before I turn it back to you. And that is about the range of trying to, you know, get a range on an animal. Something really small like a coyote or maybe even medium-sized like a hog. I have good luck out to 350, 400 yards if I'm on a tripod and I'm holding really, really steady. What I found is I don't believe the problem in that 350-plus yard range is with the laser. It's with me holding it steady enough to thread that little bitty needle and hit that animal with it. Okay, so, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, how far will it work? Well, in my opinion, it'll probably work further than you can hold steady at those very long ranges. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. And it's going to probably give you readings most of the time way further than you're going to be shooting.
Absolutely. So on, that's a good explanation of that too, because there's a lot of questions concerning how and when they can use the laser range finder in conjunction with actually taking a shot. So as always, y'all, if you have any more questions about any of this stuff, and I'll go ahead and plug it now. If you're interested in purchasing this unit, give us a call, 877-350-1818. Over at Outdoor Legacy, you can find this at outdoorlegacygear.com. We're going to go right into the likes and dislikes. And Jason, I know you like to start with the dislikes. I'll go ahead and spitball one. You can spitball another on the dislikes, and then we'll move into the likes. I'm going to say the only dislike that I have of this unit is going to be just the size and weight of it. I mean, it's, you know, with the laser range finder sitting on the side of it, it adds a little bit more weight. It's big, you know, it's kind of a big scope, not too much bigger than any others out there. But just the way that it's shaped, a lot of people say it kind of looks like a brick on top of your rifle. And, that's a fair criticism, but, you know, I would just say that the size and weight is just a little bit there. You can feel it when you put it on the rifle.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's what I call a standard size, and then it does have the laser range finder on the side of it. So it's, you know, it is a little blocky and bulky. But, I do have a lot of likes. You know, we haven't really even talked, to be honest, about the image quality and, you know, what it really is and the functions and some of the other things in here. So I do want to do that in some of the likes. But I think if there's one thing that I hear as a criticism that is fair from either people that own this scope or people that are potentially looking to purchase it is with the laser range finder, you would generally think this is for people who are going to be doing a little bit longer range shooting. That doesn't mean they're going to be shooting 300 or 400 yards all the time, but they're probably going to be doing a lot of shooting over 100 yards. If not, you don't need a laser range finder. Yeah. I mean, if you're not really, to be honest, unless you're doing a lot of shooting over 200 yards, you don't need a laser range finder. But if, you know, if you're hunting coyotes and you're big wide open areas, or even, you know, maybe you're hunting hogs on, you know, just big flat, you know, cropland farm fields, sometimes it's hard to get a depth perception and see how far you are. Okay. It's good for that. But when you are doing these, you know, this hunting at these longer ranges, most people would like to have more than a 2-power base mag, because what happens is it is a beautiful image quality at that 2-power 640. I mean, it looks great, but nobody is going to be shooting at 150 yards at 2-power. So you've zoomed it up to 4-power to make those longer shots. And now you're, you know, you when you've done that, you've cut your image quality and your resolution in half. So you're at a 320 by 240 resolution. And so it's still very good. It's still very usable. I know there's a lot of people, and I agree, that would love to see this scope at a 3-power. Heck, I think it'd be awesome to see it at a 4-power. Again, not necessarily for my needs, but I just know that the guys on these big fields up north and out in the west would love that. But 3-power, I think, would make it a real all-around optic. I think it'd be really nice. It's not, and it never has been. No. It used to be 1.6 power on the original Trail 1, or the original Trail and Trail Laser Rangefinder. So we have improved going to 2-power. But it's I think that's the only complaint, if I had to come up with something. Mm-hmm. But, man, image quality is fantastic.
Are you jumping into likes? So I'm going to jump right into likes too. So image quality is fantastic. I do. Jason and I are big fans of the Pulsar Trail form factor, the style, the outside housing style of it. So we love that. But yeah, the picture quality on it is fantastic. It's exactly what you would think a 640 scope should look like. And it even exceeds expectations on that as well. We love them. We love the Pulsar. We love the 640, whether it's the Thermion, XP50, the Thermion 2 XP50, or the Trail 2 XP50s. I love the picture image on it. And they're constantly, and as you know, there was another firmware update put out not that long ago. They're constantly improving the images of these optics. And when I say they, I specifically am talking about Pulsar. Pulsar, more than any other manufacturer out there, is tweaking their firmwares, their softwares, to get the maximum performance out of these the thermal cores that they possibly can. Right. So they can, just by putting out a firmware update, can improve the image. They've done it before, and they can continue to still do it. Mm-hmm. And those are updates that are improving your experience, the customer experience, for free, basically. I mean, they're putting those out and improving those quite often. So the picture image on it is fantastic. The battery life on it is what everybody wants out of a thermal scope, is to take it out and use it all night long and not have to worry about draining the battery out, after a couple hours. A lot of coyote hunters, when they're, they got their rifle and scope set up on a tripod mount, and, they're scanning, they like to leave that scope on. I like to leave my scope on because I don't want to have to mess with trying to turn it on and mess with it if there's a coyote running in. Because if you coyote hunt long enough, those coyotes will come from behind you and they'll be in front of you in a split second. And the last thing you want to do is have to mess with turning your scope on. So coyote hunters, we like to leave our scopes running at all times. So that burns a lot of batteries, but that extra battery life out of that battery is fantastic. So picture image, battery life, and the accuracy of the LRF. We've tested it. We've tried it. I've taken it out many places to spots where I know exact yardages of different landmarks, and it is spot on. And I think they did a good job and they've nailed it on that. So it's a great scope. And I'm gonna say this, Jason, before I hand over to you, I know it's hard to say, it really is, but at $6,000, it is a fair price. I mean, it's a fair price. There's other units out there on the marketplace. I'm not gonna say there's a lot. There's other brands that have an LRF unit, and it's considerably less expensive than that. So anyway,
this is less expensive.
Yeah, the Pulsar is less expensive, and that's not a sacrifice of quality either. So I don't want people out there to think because it's less expensive.
The build quality on these Pulsars are rock solid, and so. Yeah, I mean, the likes that I've got, we already said image quality, all these things, but there's some little things, okay? And I say little things. I mean, they. I think it's easy to gloss over them, but I want to talk about them real quick. Number one, I think that the overall design, the feel, the attention to detail, the housing, these things are solid, okay? They feel really good. You know, this is a quality European optic when you pick it up. I also believe that the menu system is very simple. It's easy to understand, to see what you're doing, to what's going on. I like all of the reticle options. I don't believe, and Hans, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe there's anybody that I know of on the market that has anything, has a thermal scope that's even remotely as many reticles as pulsars.
I'm glad you're bringing that up because that's something that we overlook quite often. But yeah, as far as reticle choices, I don't know of anybody that has more reticle choices than the pulsar. I think there's 13 or 14 or so.
I don't know. It's a bunch.
I remember I put out a video where I shot a hog with every pulsar reticle on the menu.
Yeah, you did.
Some of them are fantastic, and some of them made me want to hate life. But hey, there are choices, and you can use them. But yeah, you're bringing up some good points because these are things that we're just so used to. But yeah, the all the reticle choices that you have in there are great. All the color palettes in there are great. You know.
Yeah, and the color palettes and you know, Hans kind of used to laugh about this, but it is a big deal to a lot of people is being able to change the color of the crosshairs. Now you can do that on other scopes. That this has got more color options. And, you know, again, Hans used to laugh at me way back in the day. FLIR was the first company to do that. They're not even in the thermal industry anymore for, you know, thermal hunting scopes, but he would laugh. I'd say, man, I just really like changing that, the color, the crosshair from black or white. And I have a lot of guys tell me that say, listen, you know, whether they have like some, you know, eyesight issues or man, maybe I'm just getting older. My eyes aren't what they used to be, but to be able to change that reticle color from black or white so that it pops off the screen a little bit and just lets them make a quicker target acquisition and actually fine tune that their eyes not straining to see a white reticle on a black and white screen or a black. So anyway, again, minor detail, but I think all these things add up. You know, batteries, there's never been a thermal scope designed that has a better battery pack system than the Trail. I mean, the Trail is it. I mean, they have the longest battery life. And here's the other deal. Guys, if you're buying this scope and you say, oh my gosh, I'm never going to go hunting and hunt more than, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, so I don't need another battery. It's $99 to get another battery. Listen, you got a $6,000 scope, buy a spare battery because you never know. You may do something dumb like I do sometimes and think you turned it off and you didn't. You know, you leave it in the gun safe and you're ready to go hunt and you pull it out and it's dead. Have a spare battery. Keep it in your pack. Keep it in your gun safe. Keep it in your truck, whatever. Just in case you need it, you can always throw that battery on there. That's, in my opinion, very affordable when you're buying a $6,000 scope. You know, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, go buy a brand new truck and, you know, dent the bumper and see what that costs. I mean, you know, it's so anyway, I just think there's a lot of small things that come together and it's what we know and love from Pulsar. And this is a very rock solid scope. And I'm going to move right into this. I think we're going to go into who's it good for. This scope, I think we've kind of already said, talking this out, if you are frequently shooting over 200 yards or you know, maybe you're just starting this and think you're going to be shooting over 200 yards, I think this is the scope for you. Most calibers out there are going to be flat shooting enough out to about 200 that it's not a big deal. Most people, unless you're hunting, again, in wide open areas without, you know, a lot of trees or fence rows or, you know, wood lines or something to give you some depth perception and to figure out about how far things are. If you're hunting on big, wide open places, then, you know, you may have a hard time judging if it's, you know, 150 or 250 or, you know, so you may want that laser range finder. I don't think for the average guy who's hog hunting in the South, unless you're on great big fields, I don't think it's necessary. You can walk and get closer to those hogs. If, you know, I talked to some guys that are in the northern states in Wisconsin and Michigan and some of these areas where they're hunting small openings surrounded by what they call woodlots, and they may be looking in a field that's not but 100 yards long. You know, well, you don't need a laser range finder. But I think a coyote, the average coyote hunter that's on some big fields, especially if you're not familiar with them, I think this is a heck of a scope for it.
And there are people out there talking about who else that also is good for that, that just feel comfortable, whether they're coyote hunting or pig hunting, knowing the exact yardage. And you can sit there and all day long and say, you know, if you're shooting, you know, out to a couple hundred yards with this caliber, your holdover is not going to be very much at all. And they say, I know, but it helps me know the exact yardage. So if it makes you feel confident knowing the precise and exact yardage of an animal or whatever, then if that makes you a better shooter, a more confident shooter, then that's all that matters. And, you know, this is something that is going to be good for you. If you are interested in learning more about this optic, if you want to purchase this optic or any other night vision or thermal scope, give us a call at 877-350-1818. You can find us on the internet at Outdoor Legacy. At OutdoorLegacyGear.com. You get on there, just search for Trail 2 XP50 or Pulsar Trail 2 XP50. It'll pop right up. But anyway, we are wrapping the show up. I'm going to go ahead and do the pre-close, Jason. So we're going to, if you are trying to find Outdoor Legacy on the internet, you can do so at Facebook. You can do it on Instagram. You could do it also on YouTube. I just search for Outdoor Legacy Gear. You'll find it on any of the socials. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram and on YouTube at Hans ETX. That's HANS ETX if you're on Instagram. Go check me out. Take a lot of pictures, lots of hunting videos. And then on my YouTube channel, we're doing a lot of the shorter, quick reviews and a lot of through the optic videos that we post out over there. If you want to find any other, like, I got a lot of people that call up and say, hey, I'm thinking about this scope. And I'll say, yeah, we recorded that an episode just about that scope. And I never can remember the number, Jason, of what episode it is. I have to go back and look. But if you're looking for all of our past episodes, you can find it on thelatenightvisionshow.com. So if you go to thelatenightvisionshow.com, you can search and find all of the other shows that we've done, reviews, hunting shows, all those kind of stuff. You can find it there. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, please subscribe. If you are driving on the road and listening on Spotify or iTunes, please give us a good rating. And if you're on there, go subscribe to us on YouTube. And if you're on YouTube, go give us a good rating on iTunes or Spotify. We'd really appreciate it. And we look forward to many more scope reviews.
Absolutely. Folks, we appreciate y'all coming back here every week. If this is your first time, Hans has told you how to find us. Like he said, please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you're one of our faithful and loyal listeners or viewers, we thank you very much. Hans and I really do appreciate it. We plan, good Lord willing, and a creek don't rise, to be back here again next week with either another scope review or some sort of topic related to night vision or thermal hunting or just the Second Amendment or politics related to hunting or gun ownership. We talk about all that stuff on here, and we hope to see y'all again next week. But between now and then, y'all stay safe in the fields and keep making those bacon pancakes.